This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump and the First Lady back in the United States after the two see U.S. troops unexpectedly in Iraq and Germany yesterday. The president tweeting this morning, "We have incredible people representing our country, people who know how to win." The president goes on to ask if Democrats have finally realized that the southern border needs a wall to stop drugs and crime. The president was asked what it would take to end the government shutdown while visiting those troops in Iraq yesterday.
Whatever it takes. I mean, we're going to have a wall. We're going to have safety. We need safety for our country.
That partial shutdown's into day six now. The number of workers filing for unemployment benefits falling to a 49-year low last week. The Labor Department says it came in at 216,000 first-time filings, about 1,000 less than economists had forecast. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor. True story. He goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM.
A history-making day on Wall Street yesterday as the Dow sees its biggest ever one-day gain.
Up 1,086 points after a strong holiday retail season. The index advanced about 5%. Bloomberg reports the U.S. is sending a trade delegation to China for new trade talks right around January 7th. That's good news for investors.
USA Radio's Wendy King there. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 also seeing approximately 5% gains yesterday. Police still hunting for a man who shot and killed an officer in California's Central Valley. Corporal Ronil Singh was killed during a traffic stop early yesterday morning in Newman, a bit southeast of San Francisco. The 33-year-old officer had been with that department for more than 7 years. The cost of a U.S. postage stamp will be jumping 5 cents to 55 cents beginning on January 27th, and this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Investigations of border control facilities continue after two Guatemalan migrant children die in separate incidents after being detained by U.S. authorities. USA's Wendy King has more.
The Department of Homeland Security says it's finished new medical screenings of almost all the children in the care of the Border Patrol after the deaths of two migrant children this month. New Mexico Representative-elect Sochelle Torres-Small.
We need to have medical personnel, people who can do screenings as we have families enter our custody. We need appropriate facilities, not holding cells that are set up for three adult men, but rather facilities that are appropriate for families.
Homeland Security Chief Kirsten Nielsen blames the deaths on what she calls a system that prevents parents who bring their children on a dangerous, illegal journey from facing consequences for their actions.
Flights in and around Indonesia are being rerouted as the Krakatoa volcano is still erupting after triggering that deadly tsunami over the weekend. So far, more than 430 people have been confirmed dead as a result of that initial disaster. And a severe weather threat in Dallas is to blame for the cancellation of the ServPro First Responder Bowl between Boise State and Boston College as BC led 7-0 with about 5 minutes remaining in the first quarter when the game was halted. It's believed to be the first bowl game ever canceled by weather. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Bill Martinez live.
I can't hide. No, I can't keep quiet. It's like my heart's on fire. And I can't get over it. Can't get control.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. And this is a conversation that has been bittersweet because it is a time to talk about a friend who's been on the show many times, I'd say almost from the very beginning of Bill Martinez Live. And I'm talking about Dr. Herb London. Some of you have written and said, you know, what happened? We haven't heard from Herb in a while, and we knew there in the last several months he was not feeling well. His robust voice was starting to lose, some of its force. His passion still remained. His intellect was still there, and we knew that his health was failing. But I didn't understand it directly until I read our next guest's article about Herb London, Roy Murdoch, who is a writer for the National Review. Been around for a long time, DeRoy. Your credentials and background are absolutely stellar. And for you to write about our mutual friend Herb London, I got to tell you, it touched me deeply, and I've been looking forward to this opportunity to have you on the show so that we could give honor to a mutual dear friend.
Well, Bill, thanks for the opportunity to be with you and also share with you and your listeners my memories of a wonderful man, one of my closest friends, somebody who I met a week or two weeks after I moved to New York City. So he is completely, in my mind, synonymous with New York City in my 31 years here. He's a great, great loss and a great friend, and I'm just lucky to have been someone who knew him as well as I did for as long as I did.
Well, this year has been quite costly when it comes to the conservative movement. We've lost some giants, and certainly Herb London is amongst the giants that we lost this past year. As you say, your oldest friend in New York, and as you write, a legendary public intellectual who succumbed to coronary disease at the age of 79.
That's right. And in those 79 years, he certainly packed them with a tremendous amount of both quantity, quality, and variety of experiences and accomplishments. He played basketball as a high school student. He went on to play basketball at Columbia University. He was recruited by the NBA and would have become a professional basketball player, except for an injury which kept him from doing that. He had a hit record in the late 50s, went on to get his PhD at NYU, and then started the Gallatin Division, which is sort of a great books type of program. And speaking of great books, he was the author of 30 books. 30 books, right. The man wrote himself. I mean, I'm sure he read thousands. He wrote 30 himself.
Right.
And he was the kind of guy you could sit down at lunch, sit down at dinner, and bring up any topic, and the guy could talk to you in tremendous and fascinating depth about anything historical, artistic, scientific, literary, political, philosophical. I mean, a guy with a tremendous, tremendously wide and deep intellect, and at the same time, someone who's incredibly humble. Given all of his accomplishments, he could be, you'd imagine this guy'd be a big, pompous guy with a big head. It's exactly the opposite. Very easy to read, easy to speak with, very approachable, and someone who always took time to help out and pay attention to people as they were coming up and establishing themselves. So really a truly, truly unique and in every good sense unusual American.
Without a doubt, and I got to tell you, DeRoy, that our audience experienced the quality and the depth of Herb London's intellect and his scholarship. It was, in no doubt, as you say, you know, quite profound. In reading, you know, your piece about him, I got to tell you, I got to admit to some jealousy because you got to know him on such a personal level, and it was like one of those things that I wish I could have been there at at your lunches because of the things that you shared. Herb and I shared a lot on the air and even in between breaks when commercials were playing, and he's just like you say, such a quality individual. But I had no idea. I mean, it really, took me back when, because you're talking to an old disc jockey here out of Los Angeles. And not that I was around in quite the 50s. I was alive in the 50s, but I wasn't spinning records then. But so I had to do some research and go, Herb London did a hit rock and roll record in the 50s. I said, oh, man, I got to check this out. So
very little he didn't do from all I can tell.
Yeah, well, he didn't want to waste any time. In a way, he kind of reminded me a little bit. In fact, we were just talking about another artist out of New York, Harry Chapin. And Harry Chapin used to say, I just didn't want to get to that point in life that you get to and just say, I wish I'd have done that. And for some reason, I kind of sense this with Herb as well, is that, whether it was basketball, being a musician, and obviously, I mean, his love of teaching, that's what I appreciated. In our comments and our conversations, is that he was kind of like a professor's professor, wasn't he?
Very much so, and in a good way. He was very professorial. You were talking about any topic you want, and he would give you very interesting historical background, cite authorities in that area, tell you about the most interesting thinking in that realm, what he read most recently. He was always on top of everything from theoretical philosophy to current events, from the front page of the Wall Street Journal to, deep thoughts from the Middle Ages, that sort of thing. And so he was very much professorial, very much avuncular. I think probably the adjective avuncular describes him.
Yes.
Everyone says he's like everybody's uncle here in New York.
Right, exactly.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was one that would put his money where his mouth was. I mean, he activated himself, decided to run for mayor in 1989, New York, right?
Yeah, he actually was a political candidate on a number of instances. He ran for mayor of New York. Excuse me. He ran for governor on the conservative line and came very close to winning the as a third party candidate. Not winning, forgive me. Coming in second as a third party candidate. If he had beaten the Republican, the GOP essentially would have become New York State's third party. That almost happened by a few thousand votes. And then he was the GOP nominee for comptroller, running with George Pataki when he ran for governor. Unfortunately, Herb didn't win. He was beaten by a man named Carl McCall, just kind of a standard issue Democrat comptroller. But he was the GOP nominee and ran in the fall on the GOP ticket at that time. And I remember going to a number of his campaign events. So when he was running for, I believe he was running for governor at the time, I went upstate up to Westchester or Rockland County, something like this, and followed him at an event and just kind of followed him around from when he left here in New York till he drove back. It was just very interesting to see a man go out and campaign and spend probably the better part of maybe like 6 or 7 hours with him as he was doing this. Tremendous energy, very amiable, shaking hands, talking to people, taking lots of questions, stating his positions, not trying to dodge or bob or weave or anything like that.
Exactly.
And he did this almost every day in his capacity as someone who had very strongly held beliefs and did his best to share them with others.
Well, we're talking with DeRoy Murdoch as we honor our good friend Herb London. DeRoy is a Fox News contributor as well as a writer for the National Review. And we've got more from DeRoy on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Someone once said, live free or die, right?
On the mountain, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking down the valley, I
Chinas, live.
Back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour. A conversation with DeRoy Murdoch continues. National Review writer, Fox News contributor. And we're honoring our good friend Herb London, who passed away. And many of you have wondered, because Herb was such a mainstay. He was on the air with us at least twice a month. And everybody appreciated his scholarship and insight, no matter the topic, international, domestic. It was absolutely awesome and an honor to have Herb on the air with us. And to say that we miss him dearly is quite the understatement. DeRoy, as you know, we're going through, you know, some of the history of Herb London there in New York, that he was quite activated and, you know, put his money where his mouth was and was a change agent, whether it was, you know, running for state office or, you know, as a New York City mayor. You know, even starting, you know, NYU's Great Books, you know, which was a great division, you know, from the Gallatin division. So, you know, tell us a little bit about NYU's Great Books program.
Yeah, this is something that Herb started back in the, I think, early 70s, which is known as the Gallatin division. And essentially what it was and still is a part of New York University where students can come in. And as long as they read a certain number of great books, they can put together their own sort of individual study programs. And I believe Herb started this back in the 70s, essentially, to get away from the new kind of curriculum where, you know, you just sort of get together and hold hands and, you know, the students learn from each other's ignorance or something like this. And he wanted to make sure that people understood the Western canon, understood the basic writers like Shakespeare and Milton and Chaucer, folks like this, and make sure that you were exposed to these thinkers and their ideas, whether you agree or disagree, at least be familiar with them before you get a college degree. And he's launched that as the Center for, I think it was called the Center for Individual Study, I think is what the original thing, the original name was,
right.
And eventually became known as the Gallatin Division. And he ran it until, I believe, the late, let's see if I can recall, I think it was the mid to late 80s, early 90s, something like that.
Right, 92, I think 92 is what
92, I think it was right, 92 yeah. or so, yes, exactly. And then he went on to other things. But he was very much a university professor, university administrator, and then was one of the founders of the Center for American Scholars, or a National Association of Scholars, excuse me. And those are essentially a number of people in the academy who are not fans of political correctness and all the sort of snowflake stuff that you've seen taking over so many campuses now, and trying to sort of bulwark against that kind of thing. And he was one of the leaders of that organization as well.
And, of course, in 2013, that's when he launched the London Center for Policy Research, right?
That is correct, and the London Center for Policy Research continues, even more so now that he's no longer with us. Those of us who are part of the London Center, I'm a senior fellow at the London Center, we feel even more dedicated than ever to extend and support and share Herb's legacy, his ideas, his beliefs, and the very deep scholarship in which he was involved and the kind of scholars he developed around him. And make sure that his ideas and his thoughts and his memory all live on through the London Center.
Well, I liked how Colonel Schaefer characterized him. He said he was a Renaissance man in all aspects. He was a peerless scholar, a visionary leader who knowledgeably and comfortably could discuss, as you and I were talking about, history, philosophy, art, science, and, of course, hey, how about the latest baseball scores, too, right?
Absolutely right. You bet. Herb read the sports page every day. He knew his sports very well. You know, anybody who didn't want to talk about you know, the Dark Ages, or you know, the philosophical thoughts of Derrida and the French philosophers of the 1960s, ask him what the Yankees did last night, or how are things looking for the Knicks, and instantly could tell you all about that and discuss that topic in great depth for anybody who wanted to talk about it with him.
What about his personal life? I mean, you know, we've talked a lot, but I mean, his family life. He had three daughters, right?
Yes, three daughters, exactly. Stacy, Nancy, and Jacqueline. His daughter, Stacy, people may know from various shows she's done, What Not to Wear, and certain fashion-related type of programs. His daughter's very bright, very engaged, very well-reared and well-bred young ladies. And his wife, Vicky, of many years, was devoted to him and of course, was very supportive over the last few months as his health failed. I've known them all personally. I know especially Vicky, I know quite well, and they've always been wonderful people. And certainly those of us knew him had the opportunity to grieve with them at his funeral just about 3 weeks ago.
Right. Well, as I say, DeRoy, the time that you spent with him and being there in New York, I appreciate you taking the time to, share your personal experiences. Bring some added humanity to the man in terms of personal experience that you had with him. Can you share that with us?
Well, he was just, I described him to somebody at lunch today. We were talking about him, and the guy was just an ox. I mean, he's just a big guy. He was about 6'4", 6'5", even into his late 70s, even early this year when he was probably 78, 79 years old. He could out bench press both of us. I mean, big, strong, strapping guy, always well-dressed, always smiling, and had a great sense of humor and tremendous energy. I mean, he just follow the guy around and look at all the different things which he was involved. And he never, until the last few months of his life, seemed to be tired or anything like that. Always buoyant, optimistic, and cheerful, and just a joy to be around, not just intellectually in terms of somebody from whom you learn something every time you talk to him, but someone who's just a fun company and really a wonderful, engaging gentleman and a mensch, as we say, who tried to make everybody around him happy and comfortable. And those of us who are lucky enough to know him, we're just very, very privileged ever to be in his presence.
When he shared with, as a professor, and, he mentored these kids, which he, considered a privilege and a responsibility, what were the most important things he would share with these kids?
Well, I never had him as a student in class, per se, but I know that, among other things, just sort of picking up on osmosis from people who knew him and conversations I've had, I think he wanted people to have an understanding, a broad understanding of Western civilization, the Western intellectual tradition, whether you go back to the Greeks and the Romans, or you talk about the thinkers of the Enlightenment, or more modern philosophers, poets, economists, etc. I think his view was, whether you agree with or disagree with what's known as, quote, Western civilization, unquote, all of us Americans, people who live in this society, at least be familiar with and conversant with these big thoughts and these big ideas. And if, whether you think they're the bedrock upon which our society is built, which is what I think, or you think it's all a terrible cultural patrimony, at least be aware of it. And unfortunately, what's happening with a lot of folks is a lot of these things just aren't even taught anymore. And you'd think the left would teach them and say, okay, we're going to teach you these ideas, and now we're going to explain to you why they're bad ideas. And now what they very often do is just don't mention them at all. So you have zero exposure to them, which is probably the most criminal thing you can do. So I think in everything that Herb did, he wanted people to be familiar with the Western canon and understand it, at least appreciate it, but if nothing else, at best appreciate it, but at least at the very least be exposed to it, which, as I say, is more than is happening to a lot of people on college campuses today.
Well, DeRoy, very, very well said, and we appreciate your sentiment about our friend Herb London that you knew so well, a patriot who will thrive in our memories as you headlined, and may he rest in peace. DeRoy Murdoch is a senior fellow with the London Center for Policy Research, which Dr. Herb London had founded. He is also a contributor to Fox News and a writer for the National Review. DeRoy, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it.
You take care.
You too.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Bill Martinez, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse is passionate about redefining youth through revolutionary products. Visit BillMartinezLife.com for products like Lumines from Dr. Nathan Newman. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology.
There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products by renowned physicians to help with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Jeunesse's medical advisor, has designed several products helping the body perform better through naturally occurring plant compounds. Jeunesse products come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See it all for yourself at BillMartinezLive.com. Click on the Jeunesse banner. Why not start today to live, feel, and be young again?
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump and the First Lady back in the United States after the two see U.S. troops unexpectedly in Iraq and Germany yesterday. The president tweeting this morning, "We have incredible people representing our country, people who know how to win." The president goes on to ask if Democrats have finally realized that the southern border needs a wall to stop drugs and crime. The president was asked what it would take to end the government shutdown while visiting those troops in Iraq yesterday.
Whatever it takes. I mean, we're going to have a wall. We're going to have safety. We need safety for our country.
That partial shutdown's into day six now. The number of workers filing for unemployment benefits falling to a 49-year low last week. The Labor Department says it came in at 216,000 first-time filings, about 1,000 less than economists had forecast. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you, America. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. We're going to be talking about, hey, it's the season for cold and flu. Let's face it. It's what's happening. But what happens when a cough is more than a cold or the flu? You know, December may trigger peak cold and flu season, but symptoms such as coughing and fatigue could be a sign of something else. Think about it. These symptoms could also be due to a progressive and chronic condition called non-tuberculosis, let's see if I can say this, a mycobacterial, that's NTM lung disease. Everyone is exposed to NTM bacteria during their daily lives, as NTM can be found in everyday items such as tap water, shower heads, steam from hot tubs, and soil from parks and gardens. Now, while most people will not develop NTM lung disease, people with a history of lung conditions like bronchitis, chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases, COPD, or asthma are all at an even greater risk, because damage from these conditions can make it easier for NTM to infect their lungs. And here to talk about it is Dr. Julie Philly. She's with the University of Texas Health, and Philip Liebman, president of NTM Info and Research, Inc. Dr. Philly and Philip, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
How bad did I butcher up that that one word? I know there was something there I destroyed. Dr. Philly, you can correct me later. It's okay, because some
no,
of these...
No, it was very close. It was very, very close.
You're so positive. I appreciate that. Well, Dr. Julie, let's talk about NTM lung disease and what are the symptoms.
Well, you can already see why we shortened the name to NTM.
But yes, thank you very much.
This bacteria stands for non-tuberculous mycobacteria. And it's a bacteria, as you mentioned, that's common in the environment. We live among this bacteria, but it can make some people sick. And those symptoms usually include a cough that won't go away. Mm-hmm. We call that a chronic cough. And some of these types of patients have been treated with multiple rounds of antibiotics, yet the cough keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. And then other symptoms that we see are fatigue, coughing up blood, weight loss, and there can be other signs and symptoms as well. We understand that this bacteria and these types of cases are on the rise, increasing at a rate of about 8% per year.
Wow.
And we think that we'll diagnose as many as 100,000 cases in 2018, and my suspicion is that'll be more as the years progress with more awareness.
When does the cough become chronic, Julie?
Usually after some months. So some of these patients we'll see after months. If you've had a cough for a couple of weeks, it does not necessarily mean that it's due to this type of bacteria. But usually what we see is that the patients have coughed that have been ongoing for months.
Mm-hmm. Now, where are people likely to be exposed to NTM?
Well, as we live among these bacteria, we're virtually all exposed to them. Fortunately, it does not make the majority of us sick. But these bacteria live in the water supply, so they can actually set up shop in shower heads, in water faucets. We see this in steam, so anything related to steam, things like hot tubs, facials, outdoor misters. And then also we see this in soil. Soil-based products and things like potting soil can also harbor these types of bacteria.
This is mostly unavoidable, so, you know, who's most at risk for NTM lung disease?
Right. Understanding who it makes sick is very important. People with underlying lung disease can be predisposed to get these types of infections, and that runs the gamut. It can be COPD. It can be a condition that's less well-known called bronchiectasis, which is what I commonly see in my practice, and that's a condition where the bronchial tubes are more floppy and actually predispose people to infection and mucus production and plugging, but also people with weakened immune systems. We also understand that this is more common as you age, and it is more common in women than in men.
Well, I'm glad you said bronchiectasis, because that's my new word. I'm going to have to find a way to use that several times today, so I appreciate you sharing that with me.
And you have that one down, Bill.
But I had to have a little tutorial here, so I appreciate it. Thank you. Well, Julie, why is it important to get tested for NTM lung disease?
I think the most important reason is because once tested, once identified, you can feel better with treatment. Another important reason is because if left untreated, over time, and sometime over a period of years, it can lead to lung damage that could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Julie Philly, the University of Texas Health, and Philip Liebman is the president of NTM Info and Research. Philip, let me ask you some questions. Your wife was diagnosed. Tell us about your wife's experience as an NTM lung disease patient.
She had a mixed experience. Mm-hmm. The bad part was that it took about 6 years for the doctors to think of ordering the correct test. She had the recurrent cough, night sweats, weight loss, fatigue, and she would be treated with a single antibiotic, get better for a while, get sick again.
Mm.
However, to treat NTM requires multiple antibiotics and somebody who really understands how to deal with it. So seeking out care from a specialist is important.
Go ahead.
Please.
I was just going to say, so this is treatable.
This is treatable, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Once diagnosed in 1996, Fern was treated. Because of the delay, the damage in her lungs was extensive, but she lived an additional 18 years
mm-hmm.
With a very good quality of life. We paid attention to it. There are times where things got a little worse, so we increased her treatments.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very treatable. My goal... our goal is to create awareness so that people are diagnosed earlier and the doctors can determine if and when they need treatment. And patients can be empowered. People who are listening today can be empowered by going to the Internet. There are two websites that can help people understand what's going on. Patients can then talk to their doctors. The first was actually written by Fern while she was alive,
mm-hmm.
Written from a patient's perspective, right. ntminfo.org. That was to provide information about NTM. And the other is about ntm.com.
Well, Philip, you know, as you say, your wife was, you know, dealing with this for 4.5 years before you realized that it was an NTM issue. Can you expand a little bit more on your experience, your wife's experience with the disease, and how it impacted you as a caregiver?
Well, because of the delay, and, you know, every patient's a little bit different. She had a disease from NTM that was on the far end of the spectrum for complexity and severity. Mm-hmm. But I must tell your listeners that she had a smile on her face every single day for the 18 years that she lived after diagnosis and beginning treatment. Mm-hmm. For me, it was a shock when I learned about it. I literally doubled over in pain because I couldn't understand it. I was afraid I was going to lose my wife.
Yeah.
But we very quickly shifted because we were educated by the physicians to working together as a couple and as family and with her expert physicians to deal with the treatment that she needed. And that created a very good quality of life. So in a sense, that bad diagnosis, that difficult diagnosis, brought us closer together, and I think that our lives were tremendously enhanced by the experience of trying to help others with NTM.
You know, and what you say here is in terms of being educated and bringing in a network of people and resources that help you, you know, during this whole process, this was critical for you, wasn't it, for both of you?
It absolutely was, and one of the things that I learned from Fern was being open was really important. By not being afraid to share a diagnosis that she had a lung infection that's not considered communicable to our family and our friends, allowed everyone to get involved and provide support. We spent a lot of time doing reading. I spent time in hospital libraries because there wasn't much on the internet then. Now, the websites do provide it. So I'm hoping that patients will be seen sooner and have much better outcomes.
Well, Philip, as we wrap things up, speaking of the internet and resources, remind everybody where they can go for more information.
Okay, the first is written by Fern from a patient's perspective, ntminfo.org. The other is aboutntm.com.
Well, Dr. Julie Philly, as we do wrap up things, I want to give you the last word. You know, what's your summarization and your warning to all of us?
Oh, I think that, first of all, this is a disease that needs to be identified early, but a disease that is treatable by a team of physicians with experience in this type of lung disease. Ask questions and get more information. The internet sites are great, and we just wanted to be here to promote awareness, and we sure appreciate you for having us on your show.
Well, thank you so much for it, Dr. Julie Philly and Philip Liedman on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate all the information.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Whether it's that ugly sweater you'll never wear or that book you'll never read, we've all received unwanted holiday gifts. Many Americans are now choosing to avoid these gifting gaffes by turning to new ways of giving. The latest Bank of America Trends in Consumer Mobility report found nearly half of all Americans are using person-to-person payment services, with more than 80% of those users saying they would gift money to others through P2P. This trend could show why the majority of Americans believe an entirely cashless society will happen within their lifetime. Nikki Katz, Head of Digital Strategy and Emerging Experiences, Bank of America.
It's exciting to see the growth and adoption of person-to-person payments, especially during the rush of the holiday season. At Bank of America, we use these trends to shape future payment innovations and help clients better manage their financial lives.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/mobilityreport. That's bankofamerica.com/mobilityreport.
Dan Perkins here for Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans, Tip of the Day. Songs and Stories is now 4 years old. We have relationships with over 110 organizations helping veterans. We have given away over 16,000 MP3 players helping vets deal with PTSD, sleep deprivation, and suicide prevention. Our website is songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us. Your tip of the day is to think about others in need in this time of year. Merry Christmas from all of us at Songs and Stories for Soldiers.
Ask yourself, what do you pay for health care? Are you single? Do you pay more than $199 a month? Are you a couple? Do you pay more than $249 a month? Do you have a family? Do you pay more than $529 a month? Yes, you can serve the entire family with health care for only $529 a month. Sign up at any time of the year, pick your own doctor and hospital, ask any questions in our live chat box. It takes 2 minutes to find out how to save. Go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like us. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, look who we've got. Celebrity and dancer Derek Hough. He in the house right now, and he has big plans for 2019 with a new tour and serving as a judge on The World of Dance. Behind the scenes, though, the six-time winner on Dancing with the Stars is a big supporter of charities and helping communities. He's here today to tell us all about an initiative to honor the good work being done by young humanitarians across the U.S. Derek Hough joins us now. Derek, thank you so much for being with us. How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate all that you do and all that you represent and, of course, what you're doing. A lot of people, because you're so busy, we see you on TV doing all these, you know, entertainment things with dancing and all. And, you know, we just so appreciate your gift. But what a lot of people don't see behind the scenes is your involvement in supporting charities like what you're doing now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that so much. Yeah, you know, especially right now in this season, you know, it's like the season of giving, right?
Yes.
I think it's important for us to sort of focus on that, to focus on the good in this world. I think it's really easy for us to sort of, you know, focus on what's bad and all these things are happening. But I think that what's bad is always available, but so is what's good. And I think that wherever focus goes, energy flows. And I think it's important for us to focus on the good that's happening, and especially with these young people who are doing such great work in their communities. And, you know, for me, growing up, you know, my dad instilled at a young age for me to serve my community and to serve others in certain ways. So I think it's really important for us to recognize and to nurture and to champion and invest in these young kids who are doing such great work in their communities.
You know, Derek, I'm glad for your father, you know, stressing service. My dad did the same thing. Service was an important part of the family and part of the doctrine that was, you know, was espoused in our household. And we're so blessed for doing that. And, you know, people today, as you mentioned, very contentious right now. But there's nothing like service. I mean, you know, because what I hear, people go, we've had enough of this contention going on. What can we do? Well, I think one of the best things we can do, as you say, is serve others. And when you do that, it gets you out of yourself, and you'd be surprised how many people you connect with, how that alters your perspective. And as you say, you start looking at the glass being more full than empty, right?
100%. And you know what? There's a great expression, and that's the secret to living is giving.
Yeah, wow.
You know, when you're giving, when you're serving, when you're, like you said, out of yourself and more less about me and more about we, it makes such a huge difference. And, you know, I feel like, you know, kids connect to the good in all of us. And like you said, how can we make this better? I think it's that, you know, it's that small drop in the ocean, you know, and that ripple effect.
Yes,
you
exactly.
know, and that's why starting with your communities and these young kids, you know, who have you know, hearing about, like, this young 5-year-old who starts a business and has collected over 6,000 books for kids in his community, and you know, even my own nieces and nephews who have done some amazing work, you know, bringing attention to the environment, and which makes me so proud as an uncle, you know, to see that in this young generation. And you know, but I think it's really important for us to recognize that, recognize the good that these young kids are doing.
Well, this is what the future of good is all about. And as you say, and you've got lots of stories. I mean, you just mentioned a 3-year-old. There's a 12-year-old in Racine. Tell us about Alex, if you can, real quick.
About Alex?
Yeah, Alex, the 12-year-old Racine resident who started a company. He started his company at age of 5. And he, go ahead. Tell us more about him if you can.
Well, you know, bringing more attention to bullying and to incurable diseases, and I think it's interesting for me personally. Like, I was bullied as a kid, you know, I was bullied severely, actually, and, you know, so that strikes a chord with me personally, and to see that a young boy who, you know, took something that was negative and turned it into a positive and to help and to serve, you know, his fellow, you know, classmates or his fellow community, it just warms my heart. It really does. And it gives me a lot of hope for the future.
Well, Derek, you know, I had not heard that you were bullied as a kid before. And, of course, this is a huge issue across the country. So you say that and a lot of ears perk up. How did you deal with it?
You know, for me, dancing. You know, dancing was my safe haven. It was a way for me to connect. And for me to connect with myself creatively, it gave me an outlet. And also too, you know, from now, like now looking back at it, you know, I have a lot of compassion for the kids who actually were the bullies themselves. Cause I think that when you, you know, power over others is weakness in disguise. I think that when you, you think about when you love yourself, when you feel comfortable with who you are, you're only going to give love. You're only going to share love. So people who sort of, you know, spew hate or feel like they need to tear somebody down, you know, there's something happening in their lives. So I think that for one of those things for me, I love the idea of being kind. Such a simple sort of phrase, but, you know, being kind is so good. And also to be a force for good, you know, to be a force for good. And that's why I love this campaign I'm working on right now. You know, the future of good, because that's what it's all about. You know, it's all about being a force for good in this world.
Derek, why is it so important to recognize these young people?
I think it's important because, like you said, you know, to recognize it. And I think to focus on that. I think that, you know, like I said before, whatever you focus on is what you're going to feel. And where our focus goes, our energy goes. And I was like, let's put our energy into the good. Let's put our energy into all the service. Let's put our energy into this young generation who are doing amazing things and not just tear people down and try to, you know, judge people and say that, well, this is bad and this is bad and this is bad. It's like, let's focus on the good. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about this campaign with U.S. Cellular, because we're actually searching for 16 young humanitarians who are under the age of 16 years old. And the company is going to donate $10,000 towards, you know, their cause. which is incredible. So that's why I'm so happy to be a part of this, because they're doing just that. They're focusing on the good, and they're putting money into the good, which is what's a beautiful thing.
Well, we're talking with Emmy Award-winning and New York Times bestselling author Derek Haas, the only six-time champion in franchise history of the hit ABC show Dancing with the Stars. He started dancing in his hometown of Salt Lake City, Utah, at the age of 11. And a year later, he moves to London to live and train with the top dance coaches in the world and attend a prestigious performing arts school where he studied theater, music, and dance. Derek, 2019 is going to be a busy year for you. What's on the docket? Besides this.
Yeah, 2019, man. It's going to be jam-packed. You know, like as you said, you know, season 3 of World of Dance is going to air in the spring. Let me tell you something, man. Speaking of kids, like these young dancers from all over the world.
They are amazing.
Talk about, you know, I call dance artistic athletes because they're just that. They're so athletic, so creative. So I'm so excited for people to see that. And also my tour, it's my first solo tour. It's going to be live music, live dancing.
No pressure, right? No pressure. It's just all you.
You know what? It's so much. I love the connection with the audience, the live audience, that energy is just, it's a beautiful thing. And, I'm going to 60 cities. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's high energy, just epic night. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Well, Derek, congratulations on the career. We look forward to seeing and hearing more about you. And great job with the future of good and these young people, how they're being blessed by everybody coming together. And as you say, at this point, I mean, you're a big force behind it, but it takes a lot of people to support and be a part of the success of the future for good. How can people participate and nominate a young person for this program, Derek?
Yeah, to nominate a young person in your community, go to thefutureofgood.com before January 8th and nominate a young person and give them an opportunity to have $10,000 towards our cause. Because I feel like, especially at a young age, when you have a moment like that, I think it's a pivotal moment. It's a life-altering, course-changing moment in your life, and I think it will just give them a beautiful path and help them out. So go to thefutureofgood.com and nominate a young humanitarian.
Well, it's all about young humanitarians doing good in their community. Do you know one to nominate? You know where to go now. Dancing with the Stars, six-time winner, and World of Dance Judge Derek Haas on Bill Martinez Live. Derek, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Most of you know that heart disease